Welcome to the Deep Dive, a deeper look at sermons from Faithway Fellowship Baptist Church.
Glad to be here for this one.
Yeah, me too. And to you listening right now, our mission today is exploring what it takes to stop merely surviving in your faith and start truly thriving.
Absolutely.
We're going to be uncovering the painful but necessary mechanics of spiritual maturity and looking closely at the ultimate manual for navigating life's chaos.
It is definitely chaotic out there.
It really is.
Yeah.
Quickly, just a reminder for you before we get into it. These sermons are available on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. You can just go to the website, faithwayfbc.com, for more information.
Perfect. So to set the stage for today's material, we are looking at two really powerful teachings from Pastor Tim Travis.
Right.
One focuses on this journey from, you know, milk to meat, and that's based on James chapter 1.
The first chapter, yeah.
Exactly. And the other focuses on the Bible as, well, being much more than a book, and that one is rooted in Deuteronomy chapter 8.
And I just have to say, going through these teachings, I was so struck by how surprisingly practical they are. I mean,
totally.
You're expecting high theology, and suddenly we're talking about crash test dummies hitting brick walls.
Right, and 1929 Model T Fords shaking themselves to pieces.
Exactly. It just takes these massive abstract concepts and drops them right onto your front porch.
Which is where theology belongs, really. So Pastor Travis introduces this first core concept about moving from milk to meat. He points out that God's goal for you isn't just, you know, comfort.
Which is a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, it is. The goal, and he uses the phrasing from the King James version of James chapter 1 here, is for you to be perfect and entire.
Let's pause on that phrase for a second. Because when you say perfect and entire, a modern listener immediately thinks flawless.
Right. Never making a mistake.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is impossible, obviously. Mm-hmm. So what does Pastor Travis mean there?
Well, in that biblical context, it doesn't mean flawless. It means mature. It means complete in every part. You're fully grown. And he really analyzes the tragedy of stunted spiritual growth.
He makes a really heavy comparison here. He points out that if you see someone with physical or mental stunted growth, it's a tragedy. Your heart breaks for them because it's usually out of their control.
It's an illness or genetics or something.
Right. But he argues that spiritual immaturity is actually worse.
It is worse, because as a believer, you've been given absolutely everything you need to grow. The nutrients are right there. Pastor Travis points to the Corinthians and the Galatians as these prime biblical examples.
Oh, yeah. Paul was pretty hard on them.
Extremely hard, because they were believers who had all the advantages, but they remained, well, Paul calls them carnal, or babes.
Meaning they were still on milk.
Exactly. They were stunted by choice.
So how does that growth actually happen, then? How do we get from milk to meat?
Well, this is the uncomfortable part. It requires trials.
Or, as the KJV calls them, diverse temptations.
Right. And Pastor Travis uses this incredibly vivid analogy for how these trials show up. They don't send a warning. They come on you suddenly, like a fall.
Yeah, he told that story about watching an elderly man walking toward a store with a walker.
Yeah.
And the man hits this tiny crack in the pavement. And it isn't some slow, graceful thing. He just abruptly tips over and smacks the ground.
It's violent.
Yeah. That's how trials hit you. You're just walking along, everything is fine, and boom, you hit a crack and you're on the pavement.
But here is a crucial theological distinction that Pastor Travis makes. When that fall happens, you have to know what's actually going on. God tests faith, but he does not tempt us with sin.
People definitely mix those two up.
All the time. But temptation to sin comes from the devil or the flesh or the world. A test from God is entirely different. It's for your maturity.
He used that amazing 1980s analogy here. He said, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted.
The crash test dummies.
Yes. Mm. You have these brand new cars, and to test them, you strap a dummy in and launch the vehicle into a solid brick wall at 45 miles per hour.
Because you need the crash test to know if the vehicle actually holds up under pressure.
Exactly. A faith that just sits in the driveway looking pretty is useless. You need the crash test. But of course, the mechanics of actually enduring that trial are tough.
Oh, incredibly tough. And Pastor Travis's advice here is that the best route in a trial is straight through.
Straight through, not around it.
Right. Because look what happens when you try to go around. He brings up Abraham. Abraham hits a famine, which is a massive trial, and he tries to take a shortcut by going down to Egypt.
Which just leads to a mess.
A huge mess. And eventually, he gets so ahead of God's timing that he has a child with Hagar.
Ishmael.
Right. And the result of that one shortcut to avoid a trial, centuries of ongoing brutal conflict that literally continues today.
Wow. Yeah, trying to avoid the crash test just makes it worse. But Pastor Travis does highlight some successful examples, right? People who went straight through.
He does. Think about Job.
Man, Job is the ultimate crash test.
He loses his entire business, all his children, his health.
Even his wife tells him to just curse God and die.
And Pastor Travis points out that her reaction was likely out of this misguided, deep pity. She's grieving too. She wants his suffering to end.
She was offering him a shortcut.
Exactly. But Job refuses. He goes straight through the trial. Or look at Joseph.
Sold into slavery by his own brothers.
Mutilated life, falsely accused, thrown in a dungeon. But he endures it, and eventually he has the maturity to forgive those same brothers.
And the apostles, too. Pastor Travis mentioned how they went from absolute cowards fleeing the crucifixion.
Fearing for their lives.
Yeah, to these bold men who literally rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer.
That is meat, not milk. But to get to that level of maturity, we often need a major perspective shift. Because when we think we're suffering, we usually just lack context.
Well, the story he told about his wife here was so convicting.
The one in the car?
Yeah. He's driving along with his wife, and he's just stressing out, complaining about their finances over some relatively minor credit card bill.
Just venting.
Right. And his wife just puts her hand on his shoulder and calmly reminds him that he has no idea what poor actually means.
Because of how she grew up.
Exactly. She grew up in Mexico, sleeping on a dirt floor inside a house with two cinder block walls. And their roof was literally a piece of corrugated metal they found on the road.
That'll change your perspective real quick.
It totally shuts down the complaining. It makes you realize that what you think is a massive trial is often just a minor inconvenience.
So true.
So, okay, if life is this series of sudden, unavoidable crash tests, how on earth do you navigate it without losing your mind? And that brings us to the second teaching from Deuteronomy chapter 8.
Which emphasizes living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Right, which Jesus later quotes in Matthew 4.4 to fight off his own temptations.
Exactly. It is the ultimate manual. And Pastor Travis explains why the Bible is so utterly vital here. He talks about general revelation versus specific revelation.
Let's break that down, because I think general revelation is what most people are comfortable with.
Yeah, general revelation is nature. It's looking up at the stars and seeing the complexity of the universe and saying, okay, clearly a creator exists.
But the stars can't save a soul.
They can't. They prove God is there, but they don't tell you who he is. For that, you need specific revelation, which is the Bible. It's our only source of specific knowledge about him.
He used that great example of Paul in Athens to show this.
Oh, the altar to the unknown God.
Yeah. The Greeks were brilliant. They looked at general revelation and realized a God was out there, so they built an altar to him, but they didn't know his name.
So Paul uses specific revelation to introduce them to Jesus. He gives the unknown God a name.
And this book gives us the specific name of our Creator. Our dedication to it should be off the charts.
It really should.
Pastor Travis shared a story here that honestly just wrecked me. About the young blind girl.
That was incredibly moving.
She was blind, so she learned to read the Bible in Braille. But then she gets this terrible infection and loses the use of both of her hands.
It's just unimaginable.
And you'd think she would just give up, right? But she refused to stop reading the Word of God.
She had someone prop the Braille Bible up to her face.
Yes. And she learned to read the Braille dots with her tongue.
It's astonishing dedication.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it begs the question Pastor Travis asks the listener. What is our excuse for keeping the book closed on our nightstand? We have eyes to read it and hands to open it.
And we desperately need to open it because, as Pastor Travis explains, it provides us with a standard.
A standard of truth.
Right. He points to the end of the book of Judges, which has this terrifying summary. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Which sounds a lot like today.
Very much so. But his point is that those people weren't necessarily trying to be evil. They were trying to do right, but they were using the wrong standard. They were using their own feelings.
Which are always changing.
Exactly. The Bible is an unchanging standard. It's the manual.
And this leads to my favorite analogy from the whole deep dive, the 1929 Model T Ford.
It's brilliant.
So good. So a young man brings home the town's very first car. Nobody has ever seen anything like it. He puts his wife in the passenger seat, walks to the front, and cranks the engine.
And all hell breaks loose.
Right. The thing fires up, but it starts shaking violently. It's rattling. It's blowing thick black smoke out the tailpipe.
And the wife absolutely panics.
She is screaming, trying to get out, because she thinks the car's defective and is about to explode.
It looks like a disaster.
But the husband is perfectly calm. He pulls a little book from the glove compartment.
Mm-hmm.
The manual points to a page and says, "No, honey, see? That's what it's supposed to do."
That's exactly what the manufacturer said would happen.
Exactly. And when you apply that to your life, it changes everything. When your life is shaking and rattling and smoking, your first instinct is to panic.
You think you're being punished.
Right, or that your faith is broken. But if you check the manual, you see that trials and friction are exactly what the manufacturer said would happen to build your spiritual maturity.
The engine is just doing what it was designed to do.
But Pastor Travis also brings a really heavy gravity to this at the end. Because this manual isn't just a guide for trials. It is also the final standard of judgment.
Yes. And he points out that the ground is completely level at the cross for everyone.
It doesn't matter who you are. He said it could be a homeless man or a politician in a 16-bedroom mansion.
And he threw in that great joke about the politician.
Oh, right. Getting a mansion in heaven because politicians are so rare up there.
Yeah, that was good. But the reality underneath the joke is very serious. He talks about two distinct judgments.
Right, because believers and unbelievers face different judgments, correct?
Yes. Ultimately, believers face the judgment seat of Christ. This is an evaluation of their works for him. It's not about whether they get into heaven. It's about rewards.
Like the ancient Olympics.
Exactly. But unbelievers face the great white throne judgment, which is entirely different and terrifying. But at both judgments, the standard is the same. The word of God.
Wow. So the manual that gets us through the crash tests of life is the exact same manual we'll be judged by at the end.
That's the reality.
Okay, let's summarize all of this because it is a lot to take in. The journey from milk to meat is not supposed to be comfortable. It requires facing the sudden crash tests of life with faith and doing it all while deeply rooted in the ultimate manual, the Word of God.
And I just want to give a final word of encouragement here. Remember that the trials aren't there to destroy you. They are there to perfect you.
So true. Think about the biggest trial in your life right now, the thing that's making your life shake and smoke. What if that isn't the sound of your life breaking down and exploding? Based on what we've learned today, what if that is just the sound of your spiritual engine finally starting up exactly the way the manufacturer intended?
I love that.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. Keep seeking the truth. Keep checking the manual. And we'll catch you next time.